to the Main Street Vegan Podcast, Episode 2. I am Adair Moran. I am here with Victoria Moran.
Hi, I'm the mom.
Yes, she's the mom. I'm the daughter. And our subject of this podcast today is bees.
Bees.
As you probably know, the bees are not doing so well. I do not consider myself an expert on the subject, but I know that it's a big problem for the entire planet when we don't have bees. I know you've seen some really good bee documentaries lately, right?
Yes, I saw one called The Vanishing of the Bees, another called Queen of the Sun. They're both excellent. I recommend them. And the long and short of it is that the bees are dying off for some inexplicable reason.
Probably mostly pesticides. I understand that's the biggest culprit.
Well, that's certainly one of them, because now we don't just spray pesticides on the crops, but there are systemic pesticides that actually go into the crops. And one of the theories is that this is what's happening with the bees. There are other theories too. You know, we have this whole swath of monoculture all across the United States, the central United States, and there's just not enough food for the bees to eat.
And the reason that we got on this subject this week is actually a much more fun reason than the horrible plight of the bees. It's because in my own little tiny effort to save the bees, I started keeping mason bees. Mason bees are different than honeybees. They don't live in hives. They don't make honey. They live in their own little houses. And
houses that humans provide always, or do they sometimes build their own?
Well, in the wild, they house in hollow twigs on trees, but if you want mason bees to come and live near you, you need to have either a store-bought mason bee home, or I've heard you can drill holes in wood, and sometimes they'll like that, but I ordered mine from a company called Mason Bee Homes, which you can find online. I think it was just masonbeehomes.com, although don't take my word for it. So I ordered my mason bee home, and I ordered my bees, which mason bees, the females lay the eggs in the summer, and the little larvae spin themselves into a cocoon, and they hibernate in that cocoon kind of like butterflies, and they emerge the following spring as bees. So this guy that I ordered my mason bee house and my bees from sends me the bees in January and tells me to keep them in my vegetable crisper.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I had these bees in my refrigerator. I guess you could also put them outside, but you run the risk of rodents or something eating the bee cocoons.
Well, they weren't really bees. They were bees to be.
They were bees to be. So I had these bees in my fridge, and earlier this week I had a minor bee miracle, which was that these bees have been in my fridge for months. My husband was asking a little about, like, when they were going to wake up and what do we do with them, and I was telling him a little bit about what I'd read about the bees, and I was telling him how, you know, the bigger cocoons are the females and the little cocoons are the males, and here, I'll show you, and I go to our fridge and I pull out the bees and I open it up and I find this groggy little bee crawling out of his cocoon.
In the fridge?
In the fridge. They weren't supposed to be able to hatch until they warmed up, but I don't know. This little guy just had to get out, so I was such a ridiculous, proud parent. I was like, honey, get the camera. Get the camera. We have bees.
We'll put the pictures on the blog, on the website, on mainstreetvegan.net.
Yeah, so I was just ridiculously excited about these bees, because after that bee hatched, two more hatched in rapid succession. And so I've got this handful of little bees, and I'm like, you know, it's the miracle of life. Because you got a picture. I was not a country girl. Like, I never saw anything get born. I never saw chickens come out of their eggs or anything like that.
We tried to do butterflies once. Do you remember that?
No.
It was really an awful experience. It was part of your school where
I homeschooled.
Yeah. So it supposedly was a good idea to let butterflies hatch. It seemed very difficult. It seems like birth is difficult, whatever your species.
Any creature, even a little bug, they're a little tricky. But yeah. Anyway, my point being, I found it kind of miraculous that I happened to check on my bees on this night
that
when they started
miraculous.
To hatch, because
yes.
They would have died in my fridge.
It's a vegan miracle.
It's a vegan miracle. So now the bees are happily outside buzzing around my flowers. It's a little earlier than I'd planned to put them out, because spring came early this year, but they seem to be doing okay, and all the males came out of their cocoons, and I'm waiting for the females. They come later, but everybody's doing well. But anyway, point being, this inspired us to talk about the bees today.
So do you have flowers for these bees to I wanted to say pollinate. They don't pollinate the flowers.
Yes, they pollinate everything.
They pollinate everything.
Yeah, the bees, I guess they eat the nectar, and the females collect the pollen, and they lay their eggs on a lump of pollen, so that little larvae, it wakes up, it eats a bunch of pollen. When it's done eating the pollen, it spins its little bee cocoon.
And then they pollinate all the other crops and flowers and vegetables to be, correct?
What do you mean?
Well, I'm just trying to get this straight. You see, I really, really never had experience with nature as a child, so this is all very new to me. And you, of course, have a yard and a garden in Manhattan.
Yeah, I should probably backtrack a little bit. I live in East Harlem, and we bought this apartment specifically because it had this great big by New York standards backyard. So I actually keep a blog about it. You can visit that. It is www.harlemfarm.blogspot.com. Because I found people were so fascinated that I do things like keep bees in the city.
It's totally, totally fascinating. Because I tell people that if you're not familiar with Manhattan, having a yard is like having anywhere else a natural waterfall and a unicorn. It's just unheard of. And what you guys have done with it is so exciting.
Well, I think it also surprises people because there are people in Manhattan who have yards. Most of them are wealthy. And my husband and I are not wealthy. You know, we do well enough and we both have steady jobs, but we are definitely not rich people. So we're very, very blessed to have this yard.
Well, you're rich in many, many ways. And one of the reasons that you ordered the mason bees was in your garden last year. You had wonderful greens. You had lots of great produce, but some of it didn't come into being.
Yeah, the ones that needed a pollinator, like the zucchini, a lot of the eggplants, they grew leaves, they flowered, but they didn't make fruit, and we couldn't figure out why. And then we thought it's probably because we've never seen a bee back here.
Mm.
And that's necessary for pollination. And, you know, we want to get some apple trees, but you can't have apples without bees.
So what can people do in their yards to help the bees and invite bees in?
Okay, well, first of all, don't spray any chemicals. Don't spray any chemicals at all, because that's going to kill your bees. So there are other things you can do to deter pests. There are, like right now, I bought some nematodes for my compost to help keep the fruit flies away. I know there's a bacteria you can buy to keep mosquitoes away. Just try to do anything but poisons. The other thing is plant flowers, because that's what bees are attracted to. You know, anywhere, like if you're walking down the street and there's a little tree well with nothing in it but dirt, you know, sprinkle some wildflower seeds down there. Make something grow. That's always a good thing. I don't know. What else can you do for the bees?
Well, I know there are certain flowers, clover they like. Is it marigolds? I
mean, they like practically everything.
Practically everything.
But I have heard clover is a big one that they like.
Yeah.
And there are certain colors that they're most attracted to. I know they like purples, and so I planted some periwinkle.
Lovely. And you're wearing a purple shirt today.
I am.
Well, one thing that those of us who live in high-rises and don't have yards can do is to eat organic produce whenever possible. And I know it does cost more, but anything that you can do to support organic farmers is actually going to bring the cost down for later. So that's an important thing. If you do use honey, and I know a lot of vegans don't, when I started in the vegan world back in the early 80s and vegetarian prior to that, the Vegan Society in Great Britain, who's the kind of original voice of veganism, had always given or had gone back and forth on whether or not honey was acceptable for vegans. And they finally just said, you know, it's up to you. And the way I see it, if you don't want to eat honey, that's perfectly fine. But the abuse of bees, and there is abuse of bees. Did you know bees were kind of factory farmed?
Yeah, I only just recently heard this.
Yeah, that there are these huge bee concerns where things are done like splitting the hives so that they can get more bees, doing surgical procedures practically on the queen, manipulating her reproductive capabilities, taking the honey and substituting it with a cheap corn syrup substitute to try to get them through the winter. And this is really awful, and this is certainly one of the reasons why many vegans choose not to use honey. And yet it gets a little bit more complicated because most of the really huge bee operations are not even in the honey business, or that's a secondary business. They're actually in the pollination business. So they pile the bees into trucks and drive them all across the country so that one month they're pollinating blueberries in Maine, another month they're pollinating almonds in California. And certainly we vegans are eating almonds and putting blueberries in our smoothies. So the ethical issues get a little bit muddied. And I frankly, and I know this is controversial and I know some vegans would not approve, but if I run into a wonderful biodynamic beekeeper, these are people who have really pledged to put the bees' interests ahead of their own, I will buy honey from these people and use it, because there's something that happens with people who become in love with bees. And I happen to believe that maybe it's some of those people who are going to figure out what's going on with the colony collapse disorder and maybe save the bees and the rest of us along with it.
Well, certainly anybody who's raising bees and concerned for their welfare and letting them pollinate really whatever they want, I mean, that's good for everybody. And those bees are certainly free to, you know, split off and start a new hive somewhere, which is also good for everybody. But beekeeping was recently made legal in, I believe, in 2010 in New York City. So there are a lot of people here who keep beehives, like, on their roofs and things. And I got on the, like, beekeeping meetup mailing list. So I'm starting with the mason bees. I think those are, like, bees for beginners. But maybe one day I'll try the honeybees. One more thing I should mention about the mason bees is they don't sting. So
very nice.
They are non-venomous. You do have to worry a little with the honeybees. I don't know if any of my neighbors are allergic to bee stings. I don't want to be responsible for anything like that. So the mason bees, they're nice, they're safe. And I've also heard that they are up to 90% more successful at pollinating than your traditional honeybee.
Life is hard, isn't it, if you even have to be successful at pollinating?
Well, no, I think that was all just evolution. Anyway, I guess that wraps up our bee discussion, unless you have anything else to add.
I think we've covered it. And obviously, we're interested in hearing from you at mainstreetvegan.net.
Yes. And if you want to keep mason bees, be sure to check out that website. It's called, if you Google Mason Bee Homes, you'll find it. And my blog was www.harlemfarm.blogspot.com. And we will see you next time on the Main Street Vegan Podcast. Thanks for listening.